Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of us probably remember the day that we were first taught the game of baseball or softball. Either mom or dad or maybe our coach was there, and they were there on the mound and we were there with the bat, and they were about ready to pitch the ball. And right before they were about ready to pitch that ball, they held it up and they said what? Keep your eye on the ball. And what happened if you didn't keep your eye on the ball? It was a big swing and a miss. Or if mom or dad or the coach was a really bad pitcher, what did you end up have happen? You might end up getting hit in the head with that ball. Many of us probably also remember the time that we were first behind the wheel. And mom and dad, or mom or dad, I should say, they were with us, and we, you know, put the car in drive, we pressed the gas pedal, and then we were driving down the road, and then if we swerved a minuscule inch to the left or to the right towards that line, all of a sudden, depending on the parent, of course, and everything, they said, keep your eye on the road, because what would happen if you drifted a little bit too much to the right? Then you might end up in a ditch. Or if you drifted too much to the left, of course, then they would think you might get into, and it could happen, you might get into an accident. Today's gospel reading teaches us that we are to keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the object of our faith, who enables us to boldly confess that he truly is the Son of God. So let me ask you, fellow baptized believers, how are you doing at keeping your eyes on Jesus? In our gospel reading for today, we hear the story of Jesus walking on the water. And just so you know, in Minnesota, this is by no means a miracle, all right? They do it all the time. They walk on frozen lakes all the time. But here in Arkansas, it's still a miracle, thankfully. All right? But anyway, the disciples had gotten into a boat to go to the other side of the lake, as Jesus had instructed them to do while he went off to pray. And the disciples were struggling to make headway, as they were really struggling because what's going on? They are getting beaten by the wind and the waves, and somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning, they saw something out of the ordinary, something unexpected, something terrifying, something they thought was a ghost. To their surprise, and no doubt their relief as well, they heard a familiar voice. It was the voice of Jesus saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter responded to this miraculous event with bold faith and courage. "Lord, if it is you," or better yet, the translation actually there is, "Lord, since it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat. I mean, just imagine this for a second, just that first step of getting out of the boat and walking on the water, and in confident faith, eyes fixed on Jesus, he starts walking forward, he throws his legs over, he starts walking there towards Jesus. All scientific laws of gravity are instantly thrown out the proverbial window, and he begins to walk toward his Savior. But then it happens. His eyes start to drift. And he sees the wind and the waves. And now fear starts to sink in. And he cries out, "Lord, save me." The wind and the waves are starting to crash around. The weight of his clothes are starting to get a lot heavier as they're becoming all soaked and everything. And then Jesus reaches down and grabs a hold of him and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Needless to say, the message that he spoke to Peter in that moment, that he also could have spoken to all of the disciples there as well. But then, unlike the time that Jesus saved them in the midst of the storm when they were there on Mark chapter 4, when he said, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obeyed him?" This time, it says that all the disciples worshiped him and said, "Truly you are the Son of God." And so, having heard all of this recap of this scripture reading, allow me to ask you that question again. Fellow baptized believers, how are you doing at keeping your eyes on Jesus? Are you like the disciples who looked out into those stormy waters in fear and terror? Are you like Peter who confidently got out of the boat with his eyes fixed on Jesus only to take them off when the going gets tough? Are you like all the disciples who had little faith and many doubts? Fellow baptized believers, how are you doing at keeping your eyes on Jesus? There was once a man who lived his life as a soldier. He was in a position of leadership. He was in the army. He had 100 fellow soldiers that were under his command. He was also under command. He would take orders and then he would give orders as well. And within his job description, he was responsible for all the capital punishments. He would take the lead on ensuring that whoever was convicted, he was to put them to death in both an effective and an efficient manner. And so one day, this soldier was given the responsibility. He had 3 criminals that he was to put to death. And so he went through his normal routine. And so he collected up all of his materials and off he went to do his job. And so there he went with his wood, his nails, his hammer. He had his shovel to dig the post hole. He had it all. The orders were given. The nails were driven through hands and through feet, and up the crosses went. And there the criminals hung for all to see. Like a good soldier, he had done his job, and he had done it well. Job, simply as usual. But this day was different. There was one convicted criminal that behaved unlike any had ever seen. As an unlikely darkness covered the land, the one criminal shouted out in a very weird language, and then he found out what that language said and everything. It was this, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The earth began to shake. Rocks started to split open all around. Word was getting around that tombs were opening up, and people that were thought to be dead were now walking around alive. This was unlike anything that he had ever seen. And truth be told, everything about this day, as he started to think about everything that had happened surrounding this very bizarre criminal, had been unlike anything he had ever seen. And as he looked upward at this bleeding, dying criminal, and he processed all that had happened that day, and all that had now been said, and everything that he saw going on around them, there was only one thing he could conclude. Only one thing he could conclude. Truly, this was the Son of God. Fellow baptized believers, how are you doing at keeping your eyes on Jesus? Do you trust God in your life? Is he the object of your faith, or is it something or someone else? Remember, faith always clings to something. What are you clinging to in your life? What is taking up your mind all the time? Is it Jesus, or is it something else? Do you fear, love, and trust in him above all things, or is something or someone else serving as the God in your life that you're chasing after? What is causing you to have your doubts? What is filling you with fear? Because remember, we are called to fear, love, and trust in him above all things. What is causing you to be kept from confessing, like the centurion, like those disciples, that truly this is the Son of God? Again, I ask, what are you clinging to in this life? Peter found himself clinging to mere water and air as he was only going to be left for dead, as he could not rescue himself. That's the result of a life that is spent with eyes fixed anywhere other than Jesus. That's the life that is spent with eyes fixed anywhere other than Jesus. It's why I ask at every single funeral, where are you at in your relationship with Jesus? I ask it because Jesus and Jesus alone forgives sins. If you ever wondered why people are gathered for a funeral, it is not to talk about the person who has died. The reason that people are gathered for a funeral is because someone has died. And there's only one person who can actually fix death, and his name is Jesus. And so the only one who brings comfort in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death is Jesus. And Jesus is the only one who is the God of our lives. He is the only one who comes to rescue and to save you. And so with the same hands that reached out to save Peter, with the same hands that were pierced on Calvary, with the same hands that actually are connected to you in the water and the word of baptism, you have been granted forgiveness, life, and salvation. Fellow baptized believers, how are you doing at keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus? Like the disciples in the boat, like the centurion by the cross of Calvary, God has called you here today into his house to join with them in proclaiming that truly this is the Son of God. For we are gathered here today, and we are gathered in his boat. The ark of the church. It's why this area that we gather is called the nave, or like we get the word navy. Jesus brings us into the boat, the building of the church, to comfort you with the fact that he is and always will be the object of your faith. When doubts assail you, when fears overwhelm you, and it just seems like the waves of life are just simply going to overtake you, you may always cling to Jesus, no matter how tumultuous those waters may become. He has given you faith to reach out and grab a hold of the tangible gifts of his abiding presence, his word, his sacraments, his body, his blood. They are here for you so you can be assured you are not alone. You are never alone. You are not left to try and swim to shore on your own and rescue yourself in this life on your own. You don't have to save yourself because Jesus is the Savior. He has a hold on you. He has reached down from heaven itself, and he has grabbed a hold of you. He never lets it go. And so, know this. Take heart. Don't be afraid. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Truly, he is the Son of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.